Mr. Marfan, offering oneself. In fact, the whole section titled Concluding Activities may be considered an expansion of the Pranam Upachara. Whereas the other Upacharas, except Swagata, the offering of welcome, are physical items. The Pranam Upachara is an offering of the self to the Lord. See Upachara number 3 above, page 77. Okay. Oh, I see. Offering obeisances. Oh, here he gives all the details here. Yeah. Number 3, offering obeisances, namaskar. In the early morning, you should offer obeisances specifically to the deities only after awakening them, because it is enjoined in Shastra that one should not disturb the Lord by offering obeisances when he is resting or bathing. Nor, strictly speaking, one should circumambulate the Lord at these times. Also, offer obeisances just outside the deity room, never inside, since it is enjoined to offer obeisances from a respectful distance. Within the deity room, offer pranams with joined palms, pranam mudra, by mantra and with the mind. So the point is that reciprocation, as we mentioned, with the Lord. When the Lord is asleep, when he's being bathed, when he's eating, then we don't offer obeisances there. So you see sometimes devotees, they come in the morning, offer their obeisances to Prabhupada, then go to Nisringa Day while the doors are closed, offer their obeisances. Come to Radha Madhava, offer their obeisances even though it's closed before like this. So generally one waits until they're open, like that. And especially if it's at a time when the deities are asleep, like between 1 and 4 in the afternoon, or whatever time they take rest until they wake up in the morning. That especially, because they're sleeping. When you offer obeisances, then that means someone's offered that he takes rest and made arrangements, and now you're offering obeisances. Then it becomes a bit of a difficulty to do these two things. You know, it's just like you're taking your lunch and someone is offering you, why don't you come out, we'll go play, or we'll go swimming, or let's go, we'll go on pilgrimage. But you're eating. You can't do two at once. You can do one or the other. So the Lord can reciprocate with your pranams, or he can rest, eat, or sleep. So like that, we should understand. We should be very careful not to, how you say, disturb the Lord at that time. Then Astanga Pranam and Panchanga Pranam. Srila Prabhupada writes, the word danda means pole, rod or pole. A rod or pole falls straight. Similarly, when a devotee offers obeisances to a superior with all 8 angas, parts of the body, he performs what is called dandavat. Sometimes we only speak of dandavats, but actually do not fall down. In any case, dandavat means falling down like a rod before one's superior. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 167, purport. The Hari Bhakti Vilas tells how to offer dandavat pranam. Offer obeisances with 8 angas, your feet, knees, chest, hands, head, sight, mind, and words. With your 2 feet, knees, chest, hands, and head touching the ground. Yeah. And with eyes downcast and half open, recite a suitable prayer while meditating that your head is under the Lord's lotus feet. And Panchang Pranam, so you see that the mind is also included. Mind and words. Sight, mind, and words. So this means before offering, the obeisance starts when you see the Lord. Then you offer the obeisances. Because if you don't see the Lord, then you're offering obeisances, you won't be thinking of the Lord. So you see sometimes devotees, they blow the conch and before the curtain opens and they already do their obeisances. But you're supposed to wait till the curtain opens, see the Lord, then when you offer obeisances, you'll remember the Lord while you're offering obeisances. Otherwise, you'll be offering obeisances, who knows what you'll be thinking of. You know, like that. There's a broad variety of, you know, things that you may be thinking of, but one will not be necessarily thinking of the deity. So one sees the Lord, then offers obeisances. Like that. And then, in the mind, then one remembers the Lord. And with words, one is offering prayers. So the feet, knees, chest, hands, and head are touching the ground. Then, Panchang Pranam, offer obeisances with five angas: the knees, the arms, the head, the intellect, and words. Right? So there's no chest there. Yeah, they don't really count the feet so much. Is it just your... Yeah. Knees, arms, head, intellect, and words. It is an offense to offer obeisances with only one hand, that is, with one hand extended in front of the head while the other holds a bead bag or other sacred item off the floor. So your hand should be free, ideally, when you're offering obeisances. That is the proper way. Yeah, because also what is happening is the idea is that you're touching the Lord's lotus feet, touching the spiritual master's lotus feet. So that means you wouldn't want to have your bead bag or something in your hand while you're touching his feet. You'd want the hands empty. So that's a important aspect. Okay. Then then Prabhupada writes here, so far as the bowing down in deity worship, before opening the door you should bow down, then turn on the light and bow down again. There's no restriction on bowing down. As many times as you can is all right. Letter from Srila Prabhupada, 21st February, 1969. So, bowing down, one should not worry about bowing down a lot. It's not a problem. One should worry about bowing down less. There's an injunction that if you go, if there's an opportunity where you should bow and you don't, then that's not proper. Or try to get out of bowing down. Like that. One should avoid that kind of mentality where somehow or another, sometimes you find there's an opportunity you could bow down, but you don't. One should avoid those kind of things. So how many times? That's all right. But at the same time, there should be some sincerity there, because we see the mind is also included, or the intellect. So we should be understanding that we're surrendering to the Lord, bowing down to the Lord. These aspects should be understood, and we should try our best to please the Lord with this. Right? Does this make some sense? Because otherwise, if we're just offering obeisance to offer obeisances and don't actually do any practical service, then Prabhupada also calls that the dandavat disciple. Always offering so many obeisances, but not doing any service for the Lord like that. We should be very careful of that also. But the problem is not offering the dandavats. The problem is just offering dandavats and not doing anything else. So therefore, Prabhupada says there's no restrictions. How many times you like, fine. Like that. Any questions on this? Comments? Yes?
But sometimes, especially in the world, you see people might drive from the sacred place and drive over the road like this. So, what an impact there is. In some way, they're indicating their mind and their heart.
The mind and their heart, or the mind and their finger. Yes, this is the Dwi Ang Pranam, the mind and the finger of the right hand. It's because the aspect of the mind is there, so we'll find that in the in Indian tradition that they use the mind a lot. Mind is very important because we see that in the culture here. I mean, just when, yeah, in the culture here, the emotions, the mind play a very strong place, because that is the realm of prescribed duties and doing something because you're supposed to, it's proper to do it, you know, the platform of piety, all these things are there, so they're very interested in piety, and so then these aspects will be very prominent in their life. So generally, they have no problem in engaging the mind, you know, in these kind of things, offering obeisances or with the mind and something, remembering or like that. But technically, it's mentioned that bowing down, the reason bowing down with one hand is not good, because offering respects with one hand is considered for Shudras. A gentleman will offer respects with two hands, like that. So you see that, you know, sometimes they just come in just one hand, or, you know, a wave, or, you know, like that. It's just, it's not that. I mean, it's something, you know. But the point is it's not a I guess waving's not so much respect, it's just, you know, parting or like that. But otherwise, there's so much. Yeah, it's more of an acknowledgement. But you see many times that, you know, they'll put one hand on the heart and bow their head a little bit, or, you know, or things like this. That's not considered so good. Two hands is proper, you know. That's a fully proper. So both hands should be used. That's why one shouldn't be put on the ground, only the other one is holding up something, you know. Better to put the thing down, offer obeisances, and then pick it up and then move, you know. Unless it's something like Mahaprasad, you're worried when you put it down it'll disappear, then, you know, one can put it down and then offer obeisances above it, you know. Panchang Pranam, you know, to make sure that it's still there. Like that. In other words, it's a service, so one should be prepared to do it nicely. You know, if one has other things to do, this, that, do them, then offer. Come and... In other words, one should be prepared to offer one's obeisances. Yeah. So like that, the drivers, you know, that's the thing. So they do with one hand, we don't mind. But generally, we'll use two hands, you know, if you want to offer respects or... like that. But you also forgot the taking the coin and touching it to the head and chucking it out the window at whatever it was, the banyan tree or little temple or There's also across in Srupganj, there's that big banyan tree. Mm-hmm. I think Lord Shiva sits there. So whenever the bus drivers and everybody goes by, they always offer their respects. You know, more out of fear that, you know, they get a flat tire, or the gear shift will get stuck or something, you know. Because I think in the past, things have happened, so now they're all very careful to maintain the proper etiquette. So, number 55, recitation of verses, stuti. In his Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada writes, one should offer different types of prayers and hymns at the Lord's lotus feet. In the Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada explains the importance of reciting selected prayers. According to great learned scholars, the whole Bhagavad Gita contains many authorized prayers, especially in the 11th chapter, where Arjuna prays to the universal form of the Lord. Similarly, in the Gotamiya Tantra, all the verses are called prayers. Again, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are hundreds of prayers to the Lord. So a devotee should select some of these prayers for his recitation. In Skanda Puran, the glories of these prayers are stated as follows. Devotees whose tongues are decorated always with prayers to Lord Krishna are always given respect even by the great saintly persons and sages. and such devotees are actually worshipable by the demigods. In the Nrisimha Puran, it is stated, any person who comes before the deity of Lord Krishna and begins to chant different prayers is immediately relieved from all the reactions of sinful activities and becomes eligible, without any doubt, to enter into the Vaikuntha Loka. Nectar Devotion, Chapter 9. Seems a lot's happening in Chapter 9, Nectar Devotion. All the quotes have all been from Chapter 9. Krishna Kshetra continues, after engaging his body in the Lord's worship, the devotee uses the medium of sound and the instrument of his tongue to worship the Lord, first through silent japa, then loudly through kirtan, glorification of the Lord's names, qualities, and activities. Japa refers to the silent chanting of mula mantras and deity Gayatri mantras, 10 times each, given by the spiritual master. One should strive to realize that the mantra is not different from the deity one is worshipping. Sit properly in an asan, perform achman, and cover your right hand with your upper cloth while chanting. The counting of mantras chanted with the fingers of the right hand should not be exposed to view. In loud chanting, stuti, you may recite chant verses from the Vedas, the Puranas, the Pancharatra, or other bona fide Vaishnava works praising the deity. You may also recite works in your native tongue, native language. The Hari Bhakti Vilas mentions the recital of the Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu Sahasranam, and Stavaraj from the Gautamiya Tantra. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur recommends that a devotee chant Padya Panchika and Vigyapti Panchika. See page 221. At this time, you may also offer your own prayers to the Lord. So here you have, what is this, stuti? Yeah, you have stuti and stava. So, stuti, are you all comfortable there? Are you sure? Must be a yogini. So, you have stuti and stava. So here, stuti is being described as those prayers written by others. Means these bona fide prayers from the scriptures, by the acharyas, like that. And stava means your own prayer. Like that. So Rupa Goswami, he writes stava mala because it's his own prayer. But now for us to chant it, that's stuti. Right? So both these kind of prayers should be there. Our own prayers and the prayers of the acharyas. By the prayers of the acharyas, you know that these are well, formulated prayers that will definitely get the Lord's attention and mercy upon us. And then our own prayers, so that from our heart, whatever we're feeling and all that, that is being mentioned. So both should be there. We learn from the acharyas and from the scriptures how to pray, what is the proper method, and by offering the prayers of those before us, that pleases the Lord. At the same time, then offering our own prayers so that one can also see our level of realization. It means we say these wonderful prayers, but maybe we're just being mechanical. So by offering our own prayers also, then the Lord can actually see our level of realization, you know. And that is a way of being very personal and friendly with the Lord. So both these should be there. Okay. Then within the deity worship, it's mentioned here that you have all these aspects of the prayers that afterwards one chant can chant the Gayatris, japa with the Gayatris, japa with mula mantras. All these aspects can be done also in the when one's actually worshiping the deity, when one finishes the bhoga offering and these things in the morning puja. All right, is there any questions on this point? Comments? No? Fairly straightforward. Okay. Number 56. Touching the Lord's lotus feet. Murdni Shri Charanab Jayo Stapana. In his Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada writes, one should touch the lotus feet of the Lord with one's head. This may not be possible for everyone, but at least a pujari should do this. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 24, 334. After offering all of your activities, you should offer yourself to the Lord. To completely surrender and offer yourself to the Lord is the final act of worship and the goal we are attempting to reach through the process of puja. It is customary in some traditional temples, especially in South India, to touch a shatari to the head of persons taking darshan. The shatari is a bell-shaped representation of the Lord's lotus feet, usually made of copper, silver, or gold, which is worshipped along with the main deity. So since everybody can't, it's the injunction everybody should touch the lotus feet of the Lord. But because only the pujaris were able to get this blessing, then this devotee, I forget what his name was, Shatari. He may have been Shatari or Shatara or Shata. Yeah, maybe it was Shata. Shatavadi, I think was his name. Because this is the very, he may have been one of the, that was, now what does that mean according to you? Yeah, it means there's a very large frog in the bush to the, what do you call it? To the southwesterly direction. I guess that's what it, so, I think he may have been one of the Alwars. And so he was, you know, similar kind of, I think, situation like Sukadev Goswami. He was in the womb, and then it was time for delivery. So the Shatavari Vayu, that's the Vayu that pushes downwards. So it pushes the child out. So basically speaking, no one can, resist this particular wind. But he was so strong, he just kind of like neglected it and just stayed there in the womb. And so I'm not sure how later he was convinced to come out or anything, but in any case, then because he was able to resist that Shatavari wind, that prana, then he was given that name. And he prayed once to the Lord that all these persons are coming to see you, but not everybody can touch your lotus feet. So he prayed for a way that everybody could touch the lotus feet of the Lord. So rather than lower the Pancharatrik standard of temple worship and just have everybody march in and touch the deity because they chant Hare Krishna and don't care for the rules, then the Lord manifests this shatari, which is, it's like a helmet. And on the top of the helmet, you'll see the Lord's lotus feet. There's two shoes there. So it's worshipped as the Lord's lotus feet. And then when devotees come, then they can come and that will be touched on their head. So you get the same benefit from that as directly touching the Lord's feet. So we have here, the practice is, it's very well practiced in South India, though in North it's not as prominent. And though sometimes you see they keep the shoes of the deity and sometimes they'll bring the shoes out and touch it to the head. So that's the what will be the practice more in North. But in South, then the shatari, it's a special, it's got the shoes on top, little shoes, and that's put on the head. So it's kept here for Lord Nrisimhadev. So that kind of bell-shaped thing that they come out, that's the shatari. So that's, you get the same equivalent benefit is actually putting one's head on the feet of the deity. Okay. So the purpose of that is the complete surrender. So when we go in front of Nrisimhadev, they're putting this on our head, then we should be thinking of, this is our surrender to the Lord. That is the mood. Right? We're offering ourselves like that. Yeah, because there's not... Yeah. Because in here, in the deity worship, then you have all what he mentioned here. Atma samarpana, karma samarpana means offering one's activities, offering oneself to the Lord. Those all come together. So these are all, he's pointing out here, is expansions of offering obeisances, offering the verses, touching the Lord's lotus feet. These are all like, where one's offering oneself to the Lord. That is the mood here, the purpose. Any questions on this? Or? Yes.
I heard that that deity in Maharashtra, of Tukaram Vital, his feet have been cut by so many people that they have moved away.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
So there must have been some facility.
That, or maybe just there's so many pujaris, so maybe they all do or like that. But generally, you'll see that they won't only allow those who are initiated into the deity worship according to their rules touch the deity. So for us, it means Pancharatra, you know, in our temples. In the house, then it can be even a Vedic diksha or, you know, like that. We don't worry. But for our main temples, it must be a Pancharatra. Like someone just has a Brahmin thread, even though it's bona fide, if it's only been from the Vedic, then in the big temple worship they can't worship, though they can do home worship, they could even cook for the deities, but they wouldn't be able to touch the deities, like that, you know. Technically they could go in the deity room and move things and, you know, like that, help. Do backup work, but they couldn't actually touch the deity. Only those with Pancharatric second initiation can touch the deity. Yeah, that's interesting about that. Yeah. Yeah, Harinam is, I think it was Tukaram. Was it Tukaram? It said that he was initiated by Lord Chaitanya. You know? Like that, because he was always into kirtan. We saw, I saw when there's one film, very old, old film. I don't know when it was made, 50s or 40s or 30s. Because it's a 30s, there were talkies. So it was up to the 20s, it was the silent. Okay, so there, then, because he was so popular because of the kirtan and the bhakti cult, then the local smartas were not overly impressed, you know, with him, but were impressed by the amount of followers, and they kind of wanted them themselves. So they used to say, they used to sing the same songs or steal the songs, and then say they were their songs, and then say that this Tukaram, we don't know who he is. We're the one, you know, they would say he stole our songs, and make so many politics and all this, and then eventually at the end, then, you know, he went back to Godhead and they all just stood around and didn't know what was going on. Like that. But yeah, the kirtan is that. You also see in South, there's a few nice, a lot of kirtan. They do. Yeah, Jaipur, a lot of kirtan. Yeah, it's understood that the kirtan and all that is very, very nice and sweet. And like even in the Sri Sampradaya and all that, where it's very, you know, awe and reverence and all that, still there's a very sweet side where they do nice kirtans and sing for the deities very, very sweetly. You know, when he wakes up or when he goes to sleep, or different times they do special kinds of singing, you know, our special festivals and all that. And it's very, very nice. It has a very, you know, great sweetness to it. But it's kind of like, it's all part of the Lord's opulence, you know. It's a different kind of sweetness than the Vrindavan sweetness, like that. It's sweet, but it has that awe and reverence. Because he's so great, we're singing these sweet kirtans. Rather than he is so sweet, we're singing these sweet kirtans. Like that. It's a slight different flavor. Like that in Bangalore, one of the, what do you call it? They had a whole bunch of South Indian pandits that were there doing their installation, and we were doing ours. Both were happening at once, so. Then when we put our deities into Shayanadivas, because they had done, there they do a lot in ritual, but sometimes and they get into some detail, but they're how the arrangements aren't necessarily very nice. I mean, they're okay. I mean, they get the rule done, like Shayanadivas. It's a bed with some grains on it. and all that. So they'd make some very little simple thing and just put them in for a few minutes and a couple of grains on it, and they don't do anything very serious with it. But Hari Bhakti Vilas then takes from those Pancharatras that make a big deal out of that. In other words, there's so many things that one must do in installing the deity. And different Pancharatras will emphasize different aspects. So Sanatana Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they've gone through and taken those Pancharatras and Tantras and that emphasize aspects that are more pleasing to Krishna. It means, let's say if there's 10 things you have to do, all the Pancharatras will generally mention those 10 if they're major. Or if out of the 10, 8 are very important, they'll all have the 8. Someone might have 9, some will have 10, like that. But now one Pancharatra will emphasize one aspect more, another Pancharatra another aspect. So in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it takes from the, I think, Haya Shirsha and Ahir Budnyaya and Gotamiya. These are the main. And those seem to have more interesting, a more emphasis on these kind of things like the bathing and the bed. Like the actual bed is a huge thing. It's got hundreds of kilos of grains on it. You know, you have the bed, and you put kusa grass, and you put paddy, a huge amount of paddy. I forget how many, like over 100 kilos of paddy. And then so much rice, I think it is. And then so much sesame, like that. And then over that you put more kusa grass, then cloth, then mattresses. You know, and I think some wool mattresses, all these different things. So it kind of has all the elements of all the adivasas, the jal adivas, the danya adivas, all the different things that they put the Lord in. It's all in that one. You have water in pots. You have, you know, the wool, the cloth, the grains, the water. Oh, maybe that's what it means when huge fat frog hops by in the southwestern corner of the class, it means within a few minutes it's going to rain. Even the frog has taken shelter. It's So then we had arranged this nice beds and grains and put all the deities in and put up curtains and lit lamps and everything. So very, very nice. So one of the younger Sri Vaishnava Brahmins, his father, I think in Sri Rangam, he may have been in Sri Rangam, or one of the major Sri Vaishnava temples, used to sing for the deities. That was his service. So different songs, different ragas, different festivals like this. So after we had everything ready and we were just doing the final chanting and all that, he came along and saw it, you know, and he was very, you know, very, moved, huh? Moved by it, because they had just done some little simple quick thing, and he saw how nice and sweet, and it's dark, and the lights are, you know, burning, and the deities are inside, and all that. So he came in, and he went inside where we were, and he went around the deities 3 times, and he was singing these wonderful prayers. I'm not sure what it was. Maybe it was Bhagavatam or something. In this nice raga, some nice evening raga and all that. And afterwards he finished singing and offered his obeisances and then left. Like that, so. I'm not sure how we got onto that topic, but it was fun. Oh yeah, it was about the kirtan. So the aspect is very much in there, even in the Ramanuja. Ramanuja emphasizes 3 things: Vedanta, the philosophy, Pancharatra, or deity worship, and the Divya Prabandhas, or the prayers and songs. Because they were all, the Divya Prabandhas were songs, so it's like the bhajans. So it'd be like us, it's the philosophy, the Bhagavatam, the whole devotional process, then, you know, given to us, you know, through Rupa Goswami. And the, what do you call it? And the Pancharatra given by, and the whole process of sadhana, the rules for the sadhana bhakti given by Sanatana Goswami. And then all the prayers and songs by the acharyas. So it's kind of like, that's how he made his system. So we see in ourselves, it's also like that, but it's kind of, you don't see so much the difference, because they had to sit there and fight with Jains and Buddhists and all this, so Vedanta, being able to apply it with the Nyaya and just, you know, as a cutting instrument. So it's not, with us, it's just the general, the total picture of the philosophy. And that includes all these processes, all the rituals, and all, like, the prayers. Oh, so they don't emphasize Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam has everything in it. They're into Vishnu Purana. Okay. Anything else on that? Number 57. Taking Charinamrita and flower prasad on one's head. Tirtha Nirmalya Dharana. The Skanda Puran describes activities that will remove even the sin of killing a brahmana. Receiving the water from the conch shell, devotional service to Vishnu, the Lord's flower remnants, bath water, sandal remnants, and incense remnants will destroy even the sin of killing a brahmana. Wow. So that means the water, like after the artik, the water from the conch that they throw on the head. Devotional service, flower remnants, bath water, means charinamrita, sandalwood, incense, will destroy even the killing of a brahmana. Nirmalya refers to the garlands, flowers, chandan, bath water, tulsi leaves that the pujari has offered to the Lord during the puja. I think it also includes the... Oh, yeah, okay. Ooh, it looks like it's starting to rain. Okay. So, we'll move inside. Just put it right there. Unless, of course, how you say? Bimala Prasad Ji. Should we end here so that the faithful can settle off to shelter before getting ending up camping out here, or?
I don't know where we time was.
Well, we still have another half hour. Yeah, 6 o'clock now.
Is that to me
now? Always go on. Hey, Gore? Where's that, you have that funny little light of yours? It goes black?
One second. Okay.
We don't get rained out here also.
Huh?
Yeah, we do. Same time, it's not so important. When the wind's blowing like this, generally the mosquitoes also get blown along with it. Oh. Is Preeti in the back? Just see, because if not, then close that computer. This. Okay. Oh, Krishna. Who's this bringing something? Okay. Yeah.
Where's your porch right now?
Good. Looks like this is a good one.
Was I see in the books, you know, so many stupid.
Speak louder.
In our scriptures,
There
is ways by the Lord Himself or our previous acharyas. They are showing how to pray to the Lord.
Yes.
Now, you know, if we just make our own prayers, and it's not actually, you know, committed to those prayers, like that.
No, you should do both. Point is he's saying if we're offering prayers but they're not really in line with anything, then, but the point is that's why we study and offer the prayers offered by the previous acharyas. Because we learn from that how to properly offer prayers. Then we know how to ourselves say something. So both must be there. You understand?
But can we pray to the Lord for some material benefit or not?
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you so the point is that you offer prayers by the acharyas. They don't ask for material benedictions. Then in our own prayers we know we don't ask for material benedictions. You understand?
Mm.
It works very easily. Like that. Of course, one can offer and ask for material benedictions, and there's every chance that you can get them, because that's a lot easier than bhakti. Mm. But that's also worshipping the deity in the mode of passion, as devotional services mixed with passion, when we want material desire for ourselves. Kapila Muni mentions that. Someone who has the mood of a separatist means he has his own idea how to do things and doesn't really be able to work or cooperate with others, and is very proud of their learning, proud of their position, proud of their abilities, you know, doesn't deal right with others, that's in the mode of ignorance. Devotional service, but mixed with ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And one should be respectful to such a person, but avoid their association. Then someone who has that separatist mentality, worships the deity, but for material benefit, that's in the mode of passion. Then mode of goodness is where you worship properly, but one still may have attachment for just things being peaceful and nice and doesn't want any anxieties, you know. But then the proper is that we do things just to please the Lord. That is the best. So we'll get what we pray for. We want material benediction. That's what we'll get. Okay. So Nirmalya refers to garlands, flowers, chandan, bathwater, and tulsi leaves that the pujari has offered to the Lord during the puja. After the puja is completed, the devotee should accept these items on their head as the Lord's mercy, prasad. Oh, it's interesting. Here it says that devotees accept prasad flower garlands by touching them to the head, wearing them and smelling them. They accept prasad tulsi garlands by touching them to the head and smelling them, but not by wearing them. Another type of nirmalya is used clothing from the deity. Deity clothing which is distributed as prasad of the Lord should be respected. We may respect prasad cloth by keeping it with other worshipable paraphernalia, or even by keeping it in a glass frame or hanging it on the wall like a painting or photograph. One may also wear it, but strictly speaking, it is best not to cut and re-sew the cloth, as is a widespread custom. If cutting and re-sewing is to be done, it should be only for devotional clothing. Bead bags and costumes for children's drama is acceptable. The drama is for glorification of the Lord. Avoid wearing any prasad cloth below the waist. So the goal of puja is to satisfy the Lord. By satisfying the Lord, one receives his mercy. This mercy of the Lord in his deity form is specifically received in the form of nirmalya. One should not disrespect nirmalya by stepping on it or leaving it in an unclean place. After being properly respected, nirmalya, such as garlands and flowers, can be collected and disposed of in a river, a lake, or the ocean. Then a quote from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Drinking the bathwater of Vishnu is powerful enough to destroy the effects of 1,000,000 sins, such as the killing of other living entities. However, the person who lets even one drop of the sacred bathwater fall on the ground must suffer 8,000,000 such sinful effects. Wow. So that means you would have to take another 8 drops to counteract that. That is, so when we take Charinamrita, one of the traditions is you put your cloth in your left hand and then put the right hand on top of that. And then you take just enough that fits in the palm of the hand. So depending upon your hand, then you can just put it in the in the mudra for Achman, which means it's turned at a 90-degree angle, and that will hold nicely. If somehow or another your hand doesn't work so well like that, it doesn't hold, then you can use the Gokarna mudra, which means you take the index finger and close it in the thumb. And then it's then hold the hand at a 90-degree angle, and that will definitely create a little pool here. That way you can avoid dropping any Charinamrita. So between holding it nicely in the hand and between putting the cloth like this, then one can avoid dropping Charinamrita. Yes.
If are you getting the karma if someone puts too much and then it falls out, or when you're going to take it, it falls out?
Well, that's why you put it in here, so even if they give too much, it'll go on your cloth. Right? So that's the whole idea, is you're going to be careful yourself by, keeping it. So that's the tradition. You take part of the upper cloth and put it. And then there's no problem. Yes?
What's the proper way for the bodies to get the Charinamrita into the mouth from the hand?
What is the best way to get it into the mouth
from
the hand?
Because some of the people, they make a sound.
Generally, you take it out of the back of the, at the base of the hand. Without making too much noise, just like Achman. So that's generally quite easy when it's just water. But when they've mixed it with, double Devon, cream or something like that, or, Philadelphia cream cheese or something like that, so it sticks on the spoon, then generally it's a little harder to do in that way. So it's, then one has to use one's,
intellect.
Yes, one's cleverness, to, what do you call it? There's some other words for that.
Ingenuity.
Yes, your ingenuity to figure out how to get it into your mouth. But if it's just you've put it there and you've taken it out like that, then that's not much of a problem. You can just do other things, and except for touching boga or anything like that. But if it's had all kinds of things in it and you've had to use other ingenious methods to get it out of your palm, then it's highly recommended you wash the hand. Right? Then, also after washing the hand, then the water from washing the hand, then we wipe that on the head. Right? So if it's just water, it can be either just straight wiped on the head or washed and wiped on the head. But if it has all yogurt, this, that, and so many things in it, then better you wash the hand. It means it's just some water is poured, it's rinsed, not that you get out a bar of soap and everything. And then while the hand is still wet, that water, that is wiped on the head. It's the same like the tilak. When there's some leftover tilak, any real excess, you put back with the other tilak where you got it from. And then you take a little water and wipe so it's clean. And then that water you wipe on the head. It's not, sometimes you see real fired up, staunch, hardcore, eat wood for breakfast brahmacharis. And then they like to put extra tilak so that there's a big clump. And then they have, wipe it on their sikha so they have a big clump of tilak in their sikha. I guess it looks real macho or something like that. I guess we could ask the ladies if that's, it looks real attractive, and we should recommend it to them. But the point is the excess tilak is taken off, or the excess charinamrita, and just the water that was used for washing. You don't dry your hand, you wipe it on your head. You know? So that is the meaning of shirasha dharayam yaham. I take and then I put on my head. Yeah. So Krishna Kshetra goes on to write here that even if you're taking flowers, tulsi leaves and that, to avoid dropping, use both the hands so you're sure that you get a better, you know, put the right hand on top of the left. And taking charinamrita, you don't have to, does not require purification. You become purified by it. Only if you have to touch something that may be bhoga, then you may want to wash the hand. Like that. If you're not reading, then turn it off. Yeah. That's the only consideration, because that is remnants from the Lord. You don't want to touch His other things. But for yourself, one is not contaminated. Right? Of course, if you take and you lick off your hand very nicely and all that, that's another thing. But if you just take and like Achman sip, then there's no problem. Then the Agastya Samhita states, the water that has washed the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu or a pure Vaishnava is equal to the combined waters of all the places of pilgrimage. After drinking such charinamrita, one does not need to take achman or wash his hands and mouth. End quote. Yeah, it says here, if, however, you are going to touch the Shastra's similarly worshipable objects after taking charinamrita, you should rinse your hand with water, but you don't need to rinse the mouth. Okay? Any other questions or points? Or? Yeah.
Does it have the same principle if you have like a sandesh in your hand and you just throw it in without, and there's, a, you know, there's nothing left?
Sandesh.
Or a soup.
Generally, something like that, something to eat, you would wash the hands. Like that. You know, if it's possible. That's anything else? Okay, number 58. Accepting the food remnants of the Lord, Uchishta Bhojana. Krishna Kshetra writes here, as is commonly practiced in many temples in India, after the darshan artik, the pujari may distribute small morsels of prasad to devotees directly from the altar room. Devotees respect these remnants immediately, moving somewhat to the side of the temple room so as not to be directly in front of the deity while eating. Okay. So we discussed before, when we were doing on Prasad Seva. This is given, yeah. So, point is Prasad, one gets, one should take something immediately, one does not have to wait. But one can go a little bit to the side. Not, you know, it doesn't, small, something small. The rule that one should not eat in front of the deities, that generally means sitting down and having a full meal. You know, like that, it's easily understandable if I say, yeah, you come to my house, you know, for lunch, or, you know, you come to my house for something to eat, and then when you come over, then I give you, you know, a quarter of a sandesh, and I say, here, Mahaprasad, and then you take that jai, okay, now where's the something to eat? And then you say, well, that's it. You say, that's it. That was just a little Mahaprasad. That's not something, you know, I mean, you would not consider that you have eaten something. You're honoring just a little bit of prasad. So in the same way as taking a little bit of something there in the temple room, that's not going against that injunction to not eat in front of the deities. That means like when you serve prasad and those kind of things. Or, you know, if it gets a lot and it gets a little bit messy, that's another thing. But just a little bit, something in the hand like charinamrita, you know, a little piece of some prasad that you throw in your mouth, like that, that's not a problem. But if it's going to get too messy and, you know, for when we'll forget the deities, then at that time, that's when the deity room should be closed. Any questions or points on this? Okay, then, yes.
There is a,
speak loudly.
There is an injunction that if you eat before the Shalagram Puja, you go to hell or something. Does it include this? Is it honoring or?
Why, since when would you be honoring before? The question is, there's an injunction before doing Shaligram Puja, if you eat, then that's when we'll not get a good result. So he wants to know if this kind of eating then means that. Well, generally one is doing the Shaligram worship early in the morning, so one wouldn't have an opportunity for this. But if it is there, then one can honor either something, you know, just a small drop, a little piece. That is always there. Even in Chaturmas, where there's so many rules, don't eat this, don't eat that, Bhujari comes out with a little prasad, one can take a small amount and accept that. That, I think it was one devotee in Los Angeles was doing very strict Chaturmasya. And then they brought some Mahaprasadam and he wouldn't take it because none of the Mahaprasad was on his list of what he could eat in his strict vows. So Prabhupada heard about that and he got angry. He says, this is prasad, this is devotional service. Since when is a vrata like Chaturmas, that's technically a karmakanda activity, means the very strict following, not the, it's the devotional active aspect of Chaturmas is no spinach, no milk, no yogurt, no urdal in those 4 months. Then beyond that, that is added for, you know, to reduce, how you say, make it favorable for performing devotional activities, or so people understand that devotees are strict, austere, the respect is there for sadhus. These aspects. In other words, it's dovetailing a material activity in the Lord's service. Right? So Prabhupada's point is here, direct devotional service that can liberate you from, you know, so many things. Why that cannot be put aside for some lower level Chaturmas vratas, you know, and that you're just taking a little bit, you're not taking the whole maha plate, no, you just take something to honor, to respect. So if that happens, that before you do your Shaligram Puja and you're doing your Shaligram Puja early in the morning, but they start distributing some maha prasad after Mangal Arti, and they come to you and give you a little piece, you take that, that's not a problem. Because that's, it came on its own, you're not looking for it. In other words, you don't go looking for it. But if it comes, someone gives you, you take small something, bust. But if you sit down to a whole meal, this, that, that's not so good. Does that make some sense?
Someone said that in honoring Basharam, it's not the quantity but the quality. You have to take a little, you get the same benefit like anyone. But Prabhupada said, that, for example, that new devotees, they should eat as much as possible so they can get more purified. So,
question is that it's the consciousness in which one accepts the prasadam that is the important. So it's not the quantity. But then Prabhupada had recommended that new devotees take a lot of prasad to be purified. So, because they don't have the proper consciousness, so just by taking lots of prasad, that's Krishna. And Krishna knows that they don't have any other option of consciousness, really. But if they like prasad, they're attracted to prasad, they don't know it's Krishna, but because it is Krishna, they are benefited. You know? So it is service rendered, even though it may not be really understood. But at least what I remember when we joined, that eating tons like that meant new devotee meant up to first initiation. Right? There wasn't that you were eternally a new devotee. Like that. It was like when you got first initiation, then you should, you know, cut back from your 5 bowls of sweet rice, 2 plates of halava, 2 plates of sabji, as many pakoras as you could get your hands on, 15, you know, ladus, and what else is there? Did I get everything?
Rice.
Oh, rice? And no, I mentioned 2 plates of halava.
Simply Wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Simply Wonderfuls also. Well, that's if they were all there at one feast. They were all there in one feast. Point is, in other words, yeah, well, we only got one. But of course, they were very big. In other words, when you eat an amount that the next morning you swear you'll never eat that much again, then that's too much. It means that's all right until you're initiated. After that, then you shouldn't vow the next morning that you'll never eat like that again. And then by next, you know, and you're very strict on that on Tuesday also. And Wednesday you think, yeah, I shouldn't overeat. And Thursday, well, it is Mahaprasadam. And Friday, it's like you're looking forward to the feast. And then the next Sunday, you're doing the same thing again. It's amazing how the mind always forgets the bad things, right? Anything else? Then? So now this is like things later in the day. So, so throughout the day, then there'll be boga offerings, like it mentions, you know, a few here, in the morning puja. But throughout the day, then there'll be offerings. Standard will be 7 or 6 a day. Some will be less, but then the deities would be dressed in night clothes before putting them to rest. Mentions here that Prabhupada had mentioned in Vrindavan, and also they do here, is that the deities, the last artik, should be put in the night dress after that, so that the public, when they come, they'll always see, you know, full opulent dress. And then you'll only see the night dress in the morning at Mangal Arti. So that seems to be specifically followed more in India. While in the West, many times they dress the deities between the evening artik, and the Sunday artik, and the last artik. So Shayana Seva, the night services. 59. Sitting at the feet of the Lord in readiness for service. Padasevo Desho Paveshanam. Prabhupada writes, one should sit before the Lord and think that he is massaging the Lord's legs. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, 24, 334, purport. So that's one of the things is after that one should, you know, offer some service. Sit there, meditate, one is massaging the Lord's feet. These kind of things are done. Especially here it's being mentioned just before putting the Lord to rest. Then 60, preparing the Lord's bed. Make a comfortable bed for the Lord using soft cloth, flowers, and sweet-scented powders. Srila Prabhupada writes, one should decorate the Lord's bed with flowers before the Lord takes his rest. So one can, it's one of the 64 arts, how to decorate a bed with flowers, make it nice. So that is part before putting the Lord to rest, make the bed up nicely, make it very comfortable. And then after that, then one will go, will perform 61, offering the Lord one's hand along with his shoes before bringing him to bed. Hasta Pradana. So Krishna Kshetra points out, before moving the deity from one position to another, one always shows the hand that they move, inviting the Lord to move. And then in major moves like this, or if you're having, especially in temple worship, one has shoes, one offers the hand, then moves the shoes, then moves the deities. So Krishna Kshetra points out here, only the Utsav Murtis and your metal deities, or if they're made from wood, these may be moved, but your marble deities should not be moved. Before doing this also, there can be a Pushpanjali to get the Lord's attention. One can offer flower petals at his feet. Then, after getting his attention, then you offer the hand, the shoes, and then move the deities. Then 62, receiving the Lord at his bed with great festivity, Shayan Stanagama Mahotsava. Srila Prabhupada writes, one should take the deity to his bed. Then Krishna Kshetra mentions, one must always carry the deity with the greatest care and reverence. In most cases, it is best if you hold the body of the deity with your right hand while you hold the base with your left hand. Prior to moving, always make sure the place where the deity will rest is beset is clean. You should see the place will be set is clean, the path you'll walk on is open, and to pick up the deity properly. Holding them nicely, should always carry one deity at a time. Don't carry the deity's other things or put them on something precarious. One should take the time. Don't worry about wasting time. Krishna is time. So I don't think he minds for himself that a little time is taken. Right? That is also service. We don't shorten one service for another. So in this case, we do not rush and not make things ready. Better to take that few extra seconds to just make sure the place is ready, that there will be no obstacles. Then get the deities. At 5 seconds, you will not find you'll get anything done that much quicker for 5 seconds. So one should check. And then he's received at the bed very nicely. You know, it should be a nice atmosphere, very pleasant atmosphere. You know, so the nicer one can make the arrangements for the bed, the better. But something, you know, very pleasant. Then 63, washing and then drying the Lord's feet and offering chandan, aiganda, flowers, betel, condensed milk, and a fan. Parakshalana shayanopavesha niranjanotsava. Srila Prabhupada writes, one should wash the feet of the Lord and then sit him on the bed. Ganda flowers and condensed milk are offered prior to placing the Lord in his bed. Betel and fanning are offered after placing in bed. Only fanning if the weather is warm. So that means he comes to the bed, he washes his feet. You know, because you've been walking around all the places, you want to go in the bed. Bed should be clean. You want to be clean and getting into bed. So we see this is another aspect of the culture. Many times devotees say, well, this is fanatic. But this is what God does. You know, he does it in here. He does it in Vaikuntha. He does it in Vrindavan. This is the way he likes to do things. So if you want to move with him, in other words, the point Prabhupada makes of achinta beda beda tattva, simultaneously one in difference, that oneness is oneness in mentality, oneness in the mood to please the Lord. So that means you have to have a similar culture as the Lord. Right? Lord Chaitanya emphasizes without Vaishnava etiquette, it'll be very difficult to go back to Godhead. Because if you don't have any etiquette, when you go back to Godhead, you'll find everybody there's a fanatic. You know? They all follow all these funny little rules, like washing their feet after they eat and go to the toilet and before they take rest and all these things. And one won't be satisfied there. You know? So the whole point is you practice these things here. It's culture. This is the way the Lord likes it. Right? It's amazing. We don't mind, you know, some new age practices or, you know, finding people to deghost this and that. But the simple thing of washing your feet and drying them before go to bed keeps the bed very clean, and generally ghosts and other undesirable association in the middle of the night doesn't come. But the simple thing, if you wash your feet and dry them, that's fanatic. But if you, you know, call in some heebie-jeebie to do some mantra tantra and all that, oh, that's just being practical, Prabhu. So we must learn that this is Krishna's culture. And as we discussed before, out of an ocean of rules, the acharyas have brought it down to just a few main things. Main principles and main details. And even in that, then Srila Prabhupada has kept, and many times, just the principle in place and has even simplified the detail. But if you go less than that, where is the love for God? That is my point. Prabhupada said that following these rules, you know, to please Krishna, that is love. When you make some sacrifice for somebody, that's love. So it may be a difficulty to wash the feet. It's easier just to hop in the sack. Right? But that is love. Is that it pleases Krishna. We do it. So those kind of aspects are there. Right? You'll also find that along with these, because Krishna likes to do it, he's also written in many, you know, metaphysical and other kind of effects of these. Just like in Ayurveda, it mentions if you can't sleep, you have insomnia and this and that, then by massaging the feet like that, it can help. Because what does that do? It calms the nerves. You know? So then, by washing the feet, makes it clean, it vitalizes the nerves, the skin, all these different aspects. And it makes them cool, so they're not hot and uncomfortable. So also sleep, other things like this go better. So the scriptures will mention these lower levels of doing things, but that's only for those who don't basically accept on the devotional platform. So the scriptures will give you the devotional platform to accept. If you don't accept that, it'll point out the pious and good things for your health and all kinds of wealth and, you know, things that will come along your way if you do these things. And if that's not enough for you, then it will tell you which hell you go to if you don't do it. So like that, the scriptures have something for everybody. For the devotional-minded, the pious-minded, and the not-so-pious-minded. Right?
Yeah, okay.
So then the Lord will go there, the feet are washed, they're dried, that means that it should be angavastra, should be offered. And then your condensed milk, all these different things are given there. You can also then, again, wash the hands, mouth, feet. Then the Lord will be, and dry them. Then the Lord will be laid down on the bed. And, you know, you can fan, massage the feet. All these different nice things can be done there. Oh, that's the next one. 64. Lying the Lord down on his bed and massaging his lotus feet. Sesha Paryanka and Padasambhana. Sambhana, yeah. The Chaitanya Charitamrita states, one should place the Lord on bed and then massage his feet. Advaitacharya's worship of the Lord is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. After Artik was performed for the deity in the temple, Lord Krishna was made to lie down to rest. So like that. So after that last Artik, and then he would go and lay down. So another interesting thing to note here, these 64 items, these are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada then brings them all out in this purport, Madhya Lila 24:334 purport. Then he goes through all these items and explains them. Then Sanatana Goswami, then he goes through the scriptures and brings in all the points. And we see that the Chaitanya Charitamrita the Hari Bhakti Vilas, the Pancharatrik scriptures, they're all saying the same thing. So these different rules and regulations, these are not for fanatics. These are just normal big temple worship. In the home, we may not be able to do all these things. We'll do a more simple version. But the meaning of the big temple worship is all these things can be offered. And if not, Prabhupada mentions, ideally at least on the installation day, the first day, then all these things are nicely there and they can be offered. So these 64 then is like the full manifestation of worship. Worship means the 16 items, but within these items there are details. And so these 64 are those important details within. They bring out the aspects, what it means, like in pranam. Then what it means, offering prayers, offering obeisances, accepting the Lord's remnants, all these different aspects. And then asana, like this, putting the Lord to rest is one of the asanas. He has for artik, for darshan, when he takes his prasadam and asana, when he's put to rest, when he has his bath, all different asanas. So these different situations, then the Lord is worshipped. So we can see all these will connect back to the 16 items, the original 16. But that 16 is just the essence of it. The 64 is the very elaborate, nice worship that one will do in a big temple worship. But minimum is 16. Like that. Like in home worship, to be very simple, you may just take the deep... take the deities out of the box, you know, or the shaligram out of his bed, and then he's worshipped. You know, like Prabhupada says, shaligram, sleeping mantra. He's sleeping, you take him out of the box, chant a few mantras, then put him back in the box, he sleeps until the next time you take him out of the box and chant a few mantras. So like that. So that may be 16 items that are less. Simple. One time a day, basically, or maybe a little bit more, you offer boga or like that. But in... No. Anyway, it's just something went up my nose. I think. So... Yeah. Here it continues here. I didn't see this. Yeah, one more thing. Prabhupada further writes... As far as placing the deity in the bed is concerned, if the deity is large and heavy, it is not possible to move him daily. It is better that a small deity, which is also worshipped, be taken to bed. This mantra should be chanted. Agacha Shayana Stanam Priyabhi Sahakeshava. O Keshava, kindly come to your bed along with Srimati Radharani. That's from Hari Bhakti Vilas, 1140. The deity should be placed in bed with Srimati Radharani, and this should be indicated by bringing the wooden slippers from the altar to the bedside. When the deity is laid down, his legs should be massaged. Before laying the deity down, a pot of milk and sugar should be offered to him. After taking this thick milk, the deity should lie down and should be offered betel nuts and spices to chew. This is also in the Madhya Lila, 24.334 purport. Okay, then Krishna Kshetra in a note here says, remove the condensed milk after offering it. Do not leave it overnight in the deity room. Also, the bowl of Charinamrita, which has been left in the temple room during the day, should be removed at night, along with water which has been used to wash hands after sipping Charinamrita. Otherwise, one may attract all kinds of interesting living entities like that. Like it was interesting, yeah. Okay. Then, says in the bed, arrange pillows and bedding in such a way as to... He's mentioning here that if the deity has a big base, then it should be arranged in such a way that the deity, the pillows or the way the mattresses or... You put him in such a way that the bed is big enough so the base can be, you know, farther down off the mattress or on a thinner part of the mattress so that the deity stays level. Not that he should be, his feet will be higher than his head because of the base. Okay, now what time is it? Seem to have a captive audience here. I was just saying we can go on all night because you're all a captive audience. Okay. So any questions on this whole Shayana Seva? Yes.
I'm preparing the bed and decorating with flowers. So you can put flowers also where the Lord is lying or only around?
Can you put flowers where the Lord is lying? You can, but the problem is they'll stain the dresses. So if you are change the dresses regularly or change the bed sheets and all that, one can do. Otherwise, generally, you'll put them around. But you can put. It depends also how heavy the deities are. If the Utsav Murtis are very light, then one can cover the whole bed with them. That's not a problem. Like that. Also, but the flowers that are there should be soft and nice. You don't get these funny, prickly flowers of no smell. Should be something nice if they're going to lay on. The idea is the flowers in the bed should have a nice smell and should be soft. They should be gentle flowers, not just something, anything. You know? Right? Does that make some sense? Otherwise, if one doesn't have any flowers, one can always decorate the bed in the mind. Do it as a mental service. Like that. That makes you sick? Anything else? Or?
Huh? Mentioning flowers.
Yes.
You have that... Night Queen.
Ah.
That's got a very wonderful smell at night, but it's also highly poisonous.
Hmm.
So,
highly poisonous means if you just touch it, then you...
No, but if you eat it or something like that.
Yeah.
So, would that... Because I remember reading in Hari Suri's diary something that come and pick it and put it on Prabhupada's table where he was translating at night, because it only has that smell at night. Is that appropriate for the deity?
Yes, it would be. It would be. There's many. You'll see that in the Lord's pastimes. Then there are many. You have different kinds of flowers. Some open in the day. Some open in the night. So you generally see the really sweet ones open at night. Many of them. the night queen. There's some lotuses that open, or lilies that open at night with the moon. Huh?
Night jasmine.
Night jasmine. So there's a few like that that are very, very nice. So that's appropriate. I think we used to have here, and I think at Mayapur, they used to keep night queen in pots. And in the season when it was actually blooming, they would put the pots inside the deity room at night. You know, just inside. And then they would take them out in the day and leave them outside in the sun. But at night, I remember that, and that would have been before 85. Or maybe before they moved, and it means up to 86. Up to that time, it may have been done. But I remember it, that they used to keep night queen in pots and put it inside the deity room at night so it would bloom inside there. So it's quite nice to use these night blooming, sweet smelling, you know, fragrances, fragrant flowers and all that. Is that a dog? Huh?
It's not.
I mean, is it? No, there's no dog on the veranda there? Huh?
The master.
Yes, no.
Is he never in the corner there?
No, he may be outside, but I heard the ear flapping.
Mm.
When they get wet, they flap their ears and it makes this do 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 like that. You can. I think only dogs make that sound. At least only the local Indian dogs make. Is there anything else, or?
Yeah.